This is Powering Michigan's Future with Ken Rogalski. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogalski.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll discuss the advanced lighting market in Michigan and the upcoming Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference with Josh Brueggemann, Director of Energy Efficiency at Next Energy. We'll also visit with Sarah Sieboli, Senior Program Manager at the Workforce Intelligence Network, and learn about how the new My Bright Future program will connect students with industry and career opportunities. Stay tuned for Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogalski.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, where we will explore the advanced lighting market in Michigan and learn about the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference as we welcome Josh Brueggemann, Director of Energy Efficiency at Next Energy. Josh, good to see you. How have you been?
You too. I've been for a while.
Good. Tell us about the Advanced Lighting Conference that's coming. This is kind of a big thing.
Yeah, it is a big thing. The Advanced Lighting Conference is a gathering of the whole lighting ecosystem in Michigan. So it's really everyone from the building owners and building professionals to the contractors who install lighting equipment, to the manufacturers who make them. So it gathers that whole ecosystem together with the main goal in mind of helping educate them and keeping them abreast of the latest and greatest and what's going on in the market.
Speaking of latest and greatest, is this kind of a burgeoning market? Every time you turn around, there's something new and exciting, because some of the lights I'm looking at on the city streets look a lot different than the lights we grew up with.
Yeah, they do. It is a burgeoning market. There's a lot of advancements going on from a technology perspective. There's a lot of market activity going on. And if you talk to some lighting professionals who've been in the industry, let's say, for their whole lifetime, it's a very exciting time for them to be in the business right now, just because there's so much fun things going on.
It never ends, never ends. Who should attend an event like this?
Yeah, so really, as I mentioned, that whole ecosystem. So everyone from the building owners, building professionals, building managers, city officials who might be involved in, let's say, street lighting or lighting purchases at their municipality, contractors who are involved day in and day out. They're really the boots on the ground installing these new advanced technologies. And also our lighting professionals, lighting designers, architects and engineers who specify the equipment, and even our manufacturers in the state. So we have about 60 companies around the state right now that are involved in some level of manufacturing, design, or assembly of lighting systems.
And so this is just making the product?
That's just making the product. And
wow.
Then when you take into account all the other contractors involved and lighting professionals and designers, there really is a truly robust ecosystem that exists here in the state of Michigan.
Technology, is it really kind of running away from you? Is more new lighting materials and products coming out than you can keep track of?
A little bit. I mean, I think to the average consumer, for those of us in the industry, we can get a little caught up on all these new advances. And at the end of the day, to the consumer, lighting provides light. And that's actually a little bit of what's changing, is that some of the new light bulbs we see coming out do more than just provide light. So, for example, you can walk into Home Depot or Lowe's now, and they may have a light bulb that also serves as a speaker, and it can synchronize with your stereo system, and the lighting can change its mood based on the sound at your, let's say, your home entertainment system.
And this is something somebody can go out and get now and screw into their light sockets?
Correct, yeah. So that's how much things have literally changed in probably the last 12 months. But to step that example up a notch, let's take a healthcare application.
Okay.
So this is all premised on the basic fact that LED light bulbs have a built-in circuit board, and you can install any kind of sensor you want on them. So a light bulb in a hospital room can literally monitor the patient's heartbeat. So think about new business propositions on if you're the COO of a hospital, and you've got a light bulb in each room monitoring current status on patient and whether a nurse has been in the room or not, that starts to change your operations a bit. So that's where lighting is becoming much more than lighting. We have whole new business models and value propositions developing.
In the not-too-distant future, is it possible that a light bulb can be smart enough where it can monitor somebody's heartbeat inside a hospital room?
It is. In fact, I actually just got back from Asia and saw a real live demonstration at a trade show of that that very specific thing happening, which I was really excited about because I'd heard about it and heard about it for the last year, and to see it in person finally in, you know, live.
It's that high tech.
Yep. So there's a lot of people in the industry right now working on just about anything a light bulb could monitor or sense. And they've got a lot of secrets up their sleeves right now that I can't necessarily talk about, but it's exciting to see what's going to come.
But more's coming.
Yes.
Now, we keep hearing so much about these LED light bulbs, mm-hmm. the next generation of light bulbs, brighter, less energy, better, faster, quicker. Is that really true?
It is really true. So kind of the basic value propositions, if you will, that have been building over the last couple years are definitely energy savings. So they use a lot less energy. They last a lot longer. You're going from a couple-year lifespan to 15, 20-plus years.
A 15 to 20-year light
bulb? Yeah, and it depends on the type of application and the warranty that exists, but that's what a lot of the manufacturers are saying, and that they're standing behind their product. And so with that comes maintenance and operational savings. So let's say you have an office building, and you're changing light bulbs out every couple years or so. When you start to only have to change them out maybe every 10 years, let's say, that is a huge impact on the operations bottom line. So those are kind of the three primary tenets of cost savings and operational savings. However, you also have better light quality that comes. A lot of people that now work under LED lights or have them in their home like the light quality. They're very dimmable. You can tune the color. They don't flicker. They don't have that warm-up time like a compact fluorescent or the squirrely Q light bulbs have, which
gives out just an ugly light.
A lot of people don't like them because they take such a long time to warm up, so it's instant-on technology. So there are a lot of advantages.
You got a smart light bulb. One quick question. Do they really cost that much more in the long run?
They do. How much more is a question that's constantly changing. So you can walk into Home Depot or Lowe's right now and get a bulb for $2.50. Last year that was $8. 2 years ago that was $10. We've seen significant pricing drops.
So the price is coming down. Yeah. Josh Bergman, Director of Energy Efficiency at Next Energy, thanks. We'll be back with you in just a moment. We'll have more on Powering Michigan's Future on 760 WJR after these words.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future. We continue our conversation tonight with Josh Brueggemann, Director of Energy Efficiency at Next Energy, and we're learning more and more about the upcoming Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference. Josh, so much is changing in the lighting world. We've heard about light bulbs that last 20 years, light bulbs that can even monitor a patient's heartbeat. How does the conference address some of this new technology coming on board right now?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we focus on every year is making sure the content stays fresh is where the market is moving. And so we have sessions specifically focused on, for instance, lighting controls. That's one big movement we see in the market. All the lighting systems are becoming more and more controllable and have smart control systems that go with them. We have a session focused on cybersecurity. As all these things and widgets become more connected, cybersecurity is a concern and one that needs to be paid attention to. So we want to make sure our ecosystem is paying attention to that. We have a session focused on smart lighting. There's a lot of new smart lighting concepts at play. For instance, the one I mentioned in hospitals, and where is that going to take us from a business model perspective? So there's sessions similar to those that are really focused on these emerging categories. One other one would be low voltage or power over Ethernet. So right now, most of our lighting is all wired with, you know, 110 volt wire that you'd get shocked if you touched.
Right, right.
And because LEDs are so low in their wattage now, you can literally power them up over an Ethernet cable. So now you have the value proposition of running both power and data over the same line, so you can talk to the light fixture and you can power it up. And these are the emerging plays that we're starting to see that they're bringing whole new business models to bear, and they're starting to change the market up a little bit.
Are you saying that you can hook up a LED bulb to an Ethernet, which is basically a mm-hmm. computer line, very yep. low voltage, and you mean you can actually control that light, turn it on and off, dim it? Is that
I
what
am,
you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the companies in our incubator down the street here, Nextech Power Systems, has a 24-volt low-voltage direct current distribution system. And then there are other companies also using this Ethernet, power over Ethernet play. And there's, you know, not everyone's doing it yet, but companies like Cisco and Lumen Catch and others around the company are starting to come out with these value propositions. It'll be interesting to see how they're adopted.
How far away is this from an actual application where you can plug in a light bulb into an Ethernet outlet?
Oh, that's current. That's right now.
You can
go and buy those systems if you want.
So what would you use it for?
You would use it to power up, let's say, the lighting in your office building.
Seriously.
And the value proposition there is obviously all the value props that I mentioned with LED lighting, but because it's power over Ethernet, you can very easily reconfigure that lighting system if you need to change your office space around.
Did this exist 10 years ago?
No.
So this is really new technology.
It is, and we've seen a lot of these recent plays that I've mentioned have really come about in the last couple of years. Obviously, LED technology has been in development for quite a while, but we're now just starting to bear the fruit, if you will, of all the technological advances. So the price points have dropped, the efficacy or the kind of the miles per gallon of light bulbs has dropped down to a point where it can infiltrate the market, and now everyone's latching on and figuring out, all right, what else can we do with this technology?
You can get LEDs now at gasoline stations as well as hardware stores and even Home Depot.
Yeah,
your big conference coming up. Who are your partners? Who are your sponsors for this big show?
Yeah, so the sponsors obviously play a primary role. DTE Energy and Consumers Energy, along with IBW, or the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and the National Electrical Contractor Association, are primary sponsors. And then the Lansing Board of Water and Light and Efficiency United are involved as sponsors as well. But we also partner with a wide variety of other entities across the state to help make this happen. So, for instance, the Michigan Agency for Energy and the Michigan Solid State Lighting Association are two organizations, as well as the Illuminating Engineering Society, the Michigan Municipal League, and the Michigan Energy Efficiency Contractors Association are all involved.
Do you have a problem with professionals currently in the market, in the lighting market now, who may not want to come to this thing because they think, I know it all. I've been doing this all my life. There's no need for me to come to this event.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think there's a genuine interest to stay abreast of the current advances. And most people in the industry, this is a really exciting time for them. So they want to figure out how to leverage this new technology and put it to use for what their business model is. Whether you're a building owner and you're trying to save money on your bottom line, or you're a contractor and, you know, you now have this neat new technology to put to use. So, you know, for instance, one of our other partners is the Advanced Lighting Controls Training Program that's part of the IBEW. And I think that's a really important training program, because our contractors are now having to move from doing wiring, let's say wiring up a switch box, to programming a computer when it comes to a lighting control system. That's a totally different paradigm to work in. So we can have the best technology in the world, all the stuff that I just mentioned, we can have that, but unless the contractor community is there and ready to deploy it, the technology doesn't mean much. And so that's why a training program like this is so important.
So the contractors are really going to drive this process.
They play an integral role, yes.
Now I can understand why lighting professionals would want to come to your show, and why utilities will come to your show. But would other people who not directly in the lighting business or the electrical business come? Could local governments come? Could local landlords come who have buildings and, you know, they rent out space?
Yeah.
They would seem to fit in this too.
So this year we have a session specifically focused just on municipalities. It's a super session, if you will, where we're going to be talking about where street lighting technology is going in the future, which is a pretty exciting space. We're going to talk about real-life case studies, and Otis Jones from the Public Lighting Authority here in Detroit is going to be there to talk about what street lighting means in terms of placemaking and economic development. And then we're going to have some real live case studies where peers will get peer feedback on their current projects. So, yes, the municipal does make sense. For other professionals, let's say building owners in the space, It definitely makes sense for them to be here. There's whole new things evolving for them as well. So if you're an office building owner, just like I mentioned the hospitals, think of what light bulbs can sense in an office building. They can sense where people are in the building. They can control the heating and cooling system. They can turn the lights on and off. They can integrate with your security system, with your key card system. So that's a whole new paradigm as well, and we're trying to keep the real estate owners abreast of those movements.
It almost sounds like a light bulb can be an information transmitter to a computer.
That's totally correct, and that's what a lot of the R&D and research and development that's going on right now is very focused on that.
Wow. What's happening with LED lighting right now and advanced lighting? What are some of the new things coming out that you're seeing?
Well, I think that, you know, some of the items that I mentioned about the new business models that are evolving, and kind of the whole smart lighting realm of what else can you do with a light bulb. There's been so much focus on getting the efficacy to a point and getting the price points to a point. Our Department of Energy has put some significant investments behind that to get the investments and a lot of the activities happening in the private sector. So that's going on. And at the same time, you have businesses working on these new business models that all kind of fall into the smart lighting category that are also all involved with this Internet of Things that you may have heard of. It's the whole concept of a lot of our widgets out there are going to all be connected to each other, and that's opening up a whole new world of possibilities now.
What do you see coming down the line that absolutely amazes a young guy like you in the lighting industry?
I think it's the combination of the hardware and the software.
For example, I don't understand.
So, for example, in a retail situation, you could have light bulbs lighting up a rack in a store that integrate with your smartphone. So if you're standing in front of an aisle, let's say it, you know, you name the mom and pop shop, that light bulb knows that you're standing in front of the rack. It can then light up the product even more than it already is to highlight it for you. And it knows via talking to your smartphone that you're standing in front of it, and it can send you a message specifically on your phone that says, hey, here's a special on this product, or here's some more information.
An electronic coupon.
Yeah, and that's the new paradigm. When I mentioned hardware plus software, that same situation can be applied to a bunch of different verticals.
Before we run out of time, how can we register for your conference?
Yeah, sure. You can register at our website, which is nextenergy.com/MALC. There's a register button there. The conference is located in Lansing, Michigan on October 29th, and we're really looking forward to it.
Josh Brogman, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Stay tuned for more Powering Michigan's Future right here on News Talk 760 WJR Detroit.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We now welcome Sarah Sieboli, Senior Program Manager at Workforce Intelligence Network and My Bright Futures Program that connects high school students and parents to industry and career opportunities in southeastern Michigan. Sarah, good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you, too. Tell us about what's Michigan's Bright Future or My Bright Future is all about?
So My Bright Future is all about how we connect students to industry. And so how can we make sure that our students are getting high-demand career information so that they're aware of what careers are available to them in our job market, and then how do they get there?
How old are these kids at the time that you do this?
So we're looking at high school students for the moment. We eventually want to get all the way back to middle school and elementary school because we know that the earlier that we get them interested in careers, the better outcomes they're going to have.
You know, this is a good thing because, you know, how many kids go to high school and even college? What do I be when I grow up? I don't know.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing is we have a lot of students that are going directly from high school to college with no real direction other than college is the goal and I'm going to get there and it's all going to work out for me. And that's great. And sometimes it does. But a lot of times we're losing students because they aren't understanding the connection between their education and then what's going to happen in the real world. So they drop out.
But at least you're giving them the opportunity. You're
right.
Giving them information and you're letting them decide, hey, maybe this is something that's for me or maybe it's not.
Right. And trying to make sure that they get that information before they get to college and make a really huge investment in an education that may not pan out the way that they had imagined that it would.
That's true. How does the program connect with students? How does it work? How do you put this all together?
So we're building upon a platform that students are already using in schools. And so there's a program called Career Cruising. And Career Cruising is used to create what are called educational development plans. And students are supposed to start doing that in the 7th and 8th grade where they start planning their courses and planning their, you know, their thoughts for what they're going to do in the future and trying to match education with that. Schools do this in a different levels. You know, it varies across different schools. Different school buildings do it in different ways. And so we really want to make that process more engaging for kids. And the way to do that is to build upon that Career Cruising platform, introducing My Bright Future, which allows them to use the internet to connect with businesses. So businesses can post different types of opportunities that students can take advantage of through their company profile. And then they can also online mentor kids. And so anywhere with an internet connection, kids are able to connect to a business that does something that they might want to do and ask questions.
For example, what kind of businesses would kids be exposed to at this time?
Anything. So we really want to draw attention to the high demand careers in our area. So the Workforce Intelligence Network, who I'm properly employed for, we study the labor market to determine where high demand careers are, and we try and target training and development programs that are happening in our community colleges and workforce development agencies. We try and target them towards what's actually available in our job market. And here we're doing the same thing. So we want to really draw attention to careers like advanced manufacturing, skilled trades, healthcare, information technology, things that are really booming in this region right now. We want to make sure that we're filling those positions with homegrown talent.
When you say manufacturing, some kids might think, oh, right. I don't want to make anything. Right. But yet when you expose them and you show them what's going on, do you see light bulbs go off when these kids look at some of these programs?
Absolutely. And not just kids. It's the teachers. It's the parents especially, too, that we're really looking at how can we make those light bulbs go off. And it really takes place when we get kids out there and they can see that it's not a dirty shop floor down here, you know, dirty, thankless job in manufacturing. It's something that you're back here working with a robot. You know, you're controlling this through the computer. That's what's building this car down here on the floor. And we want to show kids how cool and interesting it can be to be in a field like that and all the different jobs that are in it. So it's not just the people on the floor. There's also HR people. There's accountants. There's lawyers that are involved in manufacturing, too. And so all of that makes our industry work. And we want to make sure that kids get exposure to it all so that they can make some informed career decisions. And when they go to college, they know what they're going there for.
Do the kids come up to ask you, say, how much can I make in this job if I graduate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we want to make sure that we're getting the right information into their hands. And so showing them the careers that are nearby that and how much they're making and not just, you know, the national averages or, you know, the entry level positions.
Right,
we want
right.
to show them, you know, there is a real career path here that you can have longevity here. And we have to shift those perceptions away from, you know, manufacturing is scary and it might break down again, because that's not what we're seeing in our data. That's not what's happening.
Yeah, look at the car business right now.
Right.
It's interesting that you not only talk to the students, freshmen,
yep.
high school students, freshmen, most sophomore seniors, but you get the parents involved. I've got an idea why you do it, but I'd like to hear it from you. Why do you get the parents involved?
Absolutely. So when we expose kids and we have those light bulbs go off and they say, oh man, maybe I want to go into manufacturing or maybe I want to go into a skilled trade, and they come home and tell their parents, well, maybe their parent had a different thought in mind of what that child was going to do when they grew up. And so they've been pushing them towards one particular education track or a particular career or occupation when really a student's interested in something else. And so we want to make sure that we're not only reaching the student but also the parent and educating them on what the field really looks like today so that they can, you know, they can understand and help their kids make the right decision.
Do kids today listen to the parents any better than kids from past generations?
You know, that's a mystery that when we solve that one, I'll let you know.
What's the real goal of this program?
The real goal is to make sure that students know where to go to get career information and know that wherever there's an internet connection, they have a system that's available to them where they can find out more information, and that there are ways that they can connect with employers. I know when I was in high school, I knew it was important that I should have an internship, or I knew it was important that I should be thinking about what I wanted to do in the future, but I didn't know where to go to do that. And really, My Bright Future is there to help kids with exactly that, so that they know where to go if they need to know more. In schools in the past, there may have been a particular person who was focused on just career counseling.
Right.
And we don't have that
the
anymore.
The counselor, you know.
Right. And now the counselor has become a test administrator, an interpersonal problem solver, an emotional health, you know, person. So, they have all these different hats that they have to wear that career development often gets dropped. And so My Bright Future is there to fill that gap and to help career counselors and counselors in high schools have a different tool in their toolbox that hopefully students will go home and use on their own with their parents to learn more about what's really available to them.
Are field trips part of this process too?
Absolutely. So that's one of the things that a company that has signed up to participate in My Bright Future that they can offer. They can offer company tours, and And then what will happen is an educator will go into the system and make a request for a company tour, and then we'll get a big group of students out there for a field trip.
I know, as a student, that always impressed me. You
right?
get out of school. What type of activities can students participate in with the affiliated businesses within My Bright Futures?
Right. So in addition to things like company tours, companies can also sign up to offer little things like guest speaking or, I'm willing to participate in a career fair. But also they can offer things like internships, apprenticeships, job shadows, part-time jobs. All those different types of work-based learning experiences is what we call them in the biz. We call them work-based learning experiences, where that's what students need to get in order to have more career exposure.
What's the current footprint or the geography of the program? Is it just our area here? Our
yes. backyard? So we're looking at piloting in Livingston County, St. Clair County, Oakland Schools, and Macomb County.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're out here in Southeast Michigan. We're working on Wayne County and the city of Detroit as well. So we're looking to keep expanding and make sure that all of the students have access to a tool like
MyBrightFuture. It's the WJR listening area. Job shadowing, is it as exciting as it sounds?
Well, it is. It's something that kids can definitely get a feel for what it's like, a day in the life, and it's not as long-term commitment as an internship, which is nice for companies. So they don't have to necessarily commit to teaching a student all these different things. It's just they're coming out and they're just looking at what it's like to be on the job. And so I think it could be exciting if it's the right field. And if they're not excited by it, then they should find a different one to do.
It's an appetizer to find out what they really
That's
want
right.
to do for the rest of their life. Sarah Siebele with My Bright Futures program. You'll stick around for our next segment.
I will.
You're listening to Powering Michigan's Future right here on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogulski. Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We continue our conversation tonight with Sarah Siebele, Senior Program Manager at the Workforce Intelligence Network. Good to have you back again. Thanks for hanging with us. What's the long-term plan for My Bright Michigan's Future?
Well, the plan is that we hope that we can make this available to all students in Michigan so that anyone who has an internet connection will be able to connect with businesses. So that's really the long-term goal. But really what we want to do is increase the connective tissue between industry and schools to make it easier for businesses to connect to schools and for schools to connect to businesses for whatever the need is. When we hear out there on the streets, we hear that education partners, they want to connect to businesses. They know that it's important for their students. And the businesses know that they should be connecting to the education community, right? So we know we should be doing this. But finding a way to do that that's efficient is really tough.
Yeah, but you got computers now. And,
right.
And all of a sudden now everybody's connected.
Right, and that's exactly it. But up until this point, there hasn't really been anything in our area that has allowed us to do that through the computer. There hasn't been a system in place to make that happen. And so it's been a lot of businesses managing one-off relationships with students or schools, or the really, really motivated students that get out there and find a company and go do an internship, those lucky ones. Well, we want to make that a little bit easier for both sides, and we want to make it so that through the computer, exactly like you said, let's use technology to our advantage and make sure that we can connect people, in the most efficient ways. And to do that, My Bright Future is a really great system to make that happen.
Now, what's the website? How can we log on and look at this right now?
So to get to the public website is mybrightfuture.org. So that's mibrightfuture.org. And employers can register to be, to be a participating company there. Students, parents, and educators get their logins actually from their school district. So students don't have to go in and register online. They're already registered through their school system. So when they want access or if they're looking for how to get that access, they should contact their school counselor or their principal.
But think about this. Here's a junior or a senior in high school who really doesn't know what they want to do when they grow up. They
mm-hmm.
go to my counselor, okay, I want to go onto the website. Explain what they'll see when they get on there.
Right. So when they go to the website, they'll be logged into their Career Cruising account, which is something that they have already been working with to create something in the past where they've been doing either their course scheduling or doing some little assessments on what their career maybe should be. So they'll log into that same exact portal, and there will just be an extra tab at the top that says My Bright Future. They'll be able to click on that. But when they go there, they'll be able to see all the different company profiles for every company that
wow.
signed up. They'll be able to see all the different activities that those companies are offering. They'll be able to see the discussion boards for particular occupations and for particular companies to be able to ask questions live and create, we have discussion forums essentially on things like, if you wanted to be a lawyer and you were wondering, how many times can I take my LSAT? And, you just want to type that in really quickly, we can get an answer within 24 hours from a person who signed up to be a career coach for a lawyer that'll say, maybe you should just take your LSAT one time.
One time's enough.
Yeah.
You'll say you're a student, and you know you're good at math, you're good at science, but you really don't like English, you don't like some of the other fine arts stuff. Does your website help kids kind of direct themselves as to what they may want to look at as far as their career is concerned?
Absolutely. So they can do different assessments and kind of skills matchmaking, and so it'll tell them careers that might be appropriate for them, and then with the enhancement of My Bright Future, it'll also tell them what companies hire positions that are right
wow.
for them. So it's a really nice way to keep our system connected so that they can see, okay, I might be good at this, this is where I can be good at this, and this is where I can go to find out more information about how to be good at this.
So how's it being received so far?
So far, really good. We've had a large response from the skilled trades and manufacturing communities, really wanting to change the perceptions for students and for parents and to get their name out there in front of students. And students are excited about the opportunity to have a place where it's sort of like, Monster.com. You can't go to Monster.com as a high school student and look for an internship and know that a company is going to be okay with you being 16 coming in and doing an internship.
Plus, you got to have a resume, too.
Right, yeah. And so there's all these different things. But that's sort of what My Bright Future does. It gives them a place where they can find opportunities that are specifically for them.
I mean, this sounds like it's perfect for the person who wants to figure out what they want to do.
Right, and even for people that already know what they want to do, but just want to get a little bit more exposure, just to be sure. Because, what if you wanted to be a nurse and then you got in there, after doing your whole education, you got in there and you said, I can't stand the sight of blood. We want to stop that before it happens so that people aren't making large investments in education without knowing for sure that this is what they want to do.
That's true. Do you have enough businesses involved in this to get students in front of?
We definitely need more. And what we want to do is make sure that we have businesses from every different possible industry so that when a student logs in, they can see everything that's available to them. So although we have about 75 companies signed up right now, we need a lot more in order to make sure that students can see all the different types of jobs that are out here in Michigan, because there is a perception in high school still, it still persists that there aren't enough jobs in Michigan, and that's simply
still,
not the case. After all these years, it's still the case that a lot of students still consider leaving Michigan right away or don't think that there are jobs here, when our data from the Workforce Intelligence Network says that there are jobs here. The problem is that we are not producing enough people with the skills to fill those jobs.
So what kind of skills are we missing? What kind of skills would we want to put these people into?
Well, we're missing really technical specific skills, and so that's the thing is, so it's not just that we're looking for nurses. We are looking for nurses, but we're looking for specialized nurses that have, a different kind of specialization, radiology or whatever it is, or, a particular trade, electricians, for example, something like that, where there is a very specific set of skills that you can really only learn in being on the job. And so those are the kind of skills that we're missing. And it's not so much that we don't have a system that's able to teach those skills, because we do, but we don't have enough interest in those jobs that people are going to get those skills. So what we see is we have a huge number of job postings in high demand fields such as skilled trades and advanced manufacturing, and a teeny tiny number of certifications and degrees that fit those job postings, essentially.
So why is that?
Well, that's really what My Bright Future is here to solve is, first of all, why is that? Is it just that, they don't think that they make enough money or the industry isn't cool
or they never
enough?
Even thought of it.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is that they haven't thought of it or they're just not aware of it. Kids don't know what they don't know. And so,
they don't know that they don't know,
and they don't know what they don't know. So we need to make sure that we're out there giving them as much information and getting as much stuff in front of them as we possibly can so that they can make a decision that's actually informed.
I mean, even Governor Snyder, we've covered stories on this mm-hmm. in the news department for months. The governor says there is such a dire need for skilled trades, and
yep.
he went down the line, electricians, robot mechanics, you mm-hmm. name it. We can't get enough of them, and we are in dire need of kids who need science-skilled backgrounds.
Right. Right, and we just need to make sure that they're interested in it, that they know what it looks like to work in that field, and that maybe it isn't how they imagined it to be, or maybe math isn't as stupid as you thought that it was, or as boring as you thought that it was, because it really does have a real-life purpose.
Oh, it does. I mean, if you get the right teacher who can make something interesting to kids, I mean, it is...
Right.
A match in gasoline. There's an explosion that's going to happen.
Right, and My Bright Future does that as well. So companies can also, some of the activities that I didn't mention earlier when you asked what they could offer is they can also offer things to teachers specifically. So summer externships for teachers, summer site visits for teachers, so that teachers can get out there and then they can make those sparks go off. The only way they can make those sparks go off is if they have the spark themselves because they went out there and learned about it.
So how do businesses get involved in this? I mean, they're looking for help.
Yeah, they are. And so they can go to mybrightfuture.org. They can sign up right there. All the registration instructions are right on the site. They just click one button to register and fill out their information, and we'll get them activated.
I mean, this could really turn somebody's life around and even turn around the future of the state, too.
Absolutely. That's the hope.
Why is it so important to have better connected students and parents Now, let me rephrase that question. Why is it so important to better connect students and parents with the industry that the kids may want to go in early and often?
It's important for so many reasons. First of all, it's proven that when kids can make a connection between education and the real world, they'll do better in school.
Is it because they see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes. Yes, so that they understand that they need to do well in school to get the job that they want. So that's one thing. So that's one reason that it goes up. They care more. And also that they're making, if it's contextualized education where it makes sense, you know, I have to do this calculus to make this measurement to fit this tool over here, then it's math with a purpose. It's not just math.
Sounds like a little dream building for the kids, too, that they can, you know, they can really do
this. And also, again, going back to that big investment, before you're going to make a big investment in college or education, we want to make sure that you know why you're going there. It's post-secondary with a purpose, decisions with direction, and, you know, we see too many kids that attend college and drop out, and we want to stop that from happening.
I think I had a few of those as roommates.
Yeah, I did too.
Are there sponsorships available? Why would a business want to get involved in this?
There are sponsorships available, so businesses would want to get involved. I'll take that one first, because the best people to tell students about what they want in their industry is the industry itself. And so we want to get kids interested early so that they're more likely to pursue the industry and actually get the right qualifications to be in that industry. And we want to build the image of the industry and rebuild those perceptions. And sponsorships are available. So to have a profile, just a profile itself is free, and to offer all the activities and stuff, that's all free. But if you want to boost your profile, boost your industry, get your name further out there, then sponsorship packages are available, ranging from $500 to $25,000.
It's got to be a bright future for kids today.
I certainly hope so.
Now, the website again, and how do you spell this?
It's mybrightfuture.org, so mibrightfuture.org.
Not M-Y.
M-I.
Brightfuture.org. Sarah Siebele, Senior Program Manager at Workforce Intelligence Network, thank you for joining us tonight on Powering Michigan's Future.
Thank you so much.
That about wraps it up for tonight. Thank you, Josh Brueggemann, Director of Energy Efficiency and Next Energy, and thank you, Sarah Siebele from Workforce International. This has been Powering Michigan's Future. I'm Ken Rogulski. Thanks for joining us on News Talk 760 WJR.